All right, well, good afternoon, Heartland. How are we? Good deal. Can you give me a little more? Help me out. There you go. All right. Well, thank you. So good to see you today. Welcome to our 12 o'clock. Thrilled that you're here. Excited for what God's going to do. Let me give a quick shout out, first of all, Pastor Darren, spring breaking today with his family. So, Pastor Darren, we love you. We miss you. Thankful for you. Hope you have a great rest of time. He deserves a rest. Don't you agree? Yeah. So pray for him and his family just to have a great day while they're gone, even though that we miss them. Listen, it's been a full couple months here around Heartland. 2 months ago, we, at your request, and because of your generosity, we planted not one, but two locations here in our city, one in Westfield and one in downtown. The Easter survey last year said we want a downtown Heartland, and so we planted it 2 months ago on Super Bowl Sunday, and that's been a great success. Hundreds of people are being reached for God, and people are getting saved, and that's been a great blessing. So thank you for the idea. Thank you for your generosity. You guys keep doing that stuff, and we're going to keep planting churches all over this city, which we're excited about, all right? Okay, good deal. Well, listen, last weekend, Easter weekend, my goodness, did God show up or what? There's just an amazing, amazing time. We asked you guys to pray. We asked you guys to invite, to come prepared to worship, and y'all did it. I got to be honest with you. We had, I think, like 874 services, and all of them, we didn't really, y'all. It's good. We had 10, and we had an online campus. And in all of those atmospheres, all of those environments, check this out, we had 3,911 people at Heartland for Easter. That's a great, great number. Every one of those, a person that God loves, that God has plans and intents for, and we're excited about that. We did two surveys. We did a survey, one of which was, where would you like us to plant a church? And what series would you like us to do in the fall? And then we also did a spiritual decision survey. So let me just give you the results on that. The location that y'all asked for us to put a new Heartland, was Anderson. Can I get some love for Anderson? Yeah. So we don't have any immediate plans to do that, but we're going to be praying on that. So if you are connected to Anderson or from Anderson or love Anderson or any of those, if you've been to Anderson, be praying with us and let us know about that so that we can kind of see what God's up to on that. The series that you asked for was Teach Us About Our Purpose, which is a great, great series. We do that every month in our growth track, which is actually happening right now. And so that's a space that we've created to teach you about who God is and how he's created you and what your purpose is so you can make a difference. But that's a great series. Number two was Help Me With My Stress. I don't want to stress you out. We're not doing the series till the fall, okay? So hang in there, and we're going to do that series, and we're excited about that. Spiritual survey. I want to show you some numbers that are just going to, they're going to blow your and my hair back, okay? This is a crazy, crazy number. If you remember, we had the A option, which was God has saved me, I'm a follower of Jesus, had hundreds and hundreds of people who checked that box. The C response that we had 29 people who walked in and said, you know what, I'm open to considering this. I'm on the journey. So that's a great, great number. We're praying over all of those numbers, all of those people individually, that God will turn them into bees before next Easter. We did have one D response, all right? So appreciate your honesty, man, and your authenticity to put that down. So just a heads up, we're going to be praying for you that your I will not do it, you can't make me, will turn into at least a C by next year. We believe that God can do that, amen? So, but here's the deal. I know that it is 12:20 or whatever it is, and I know that you're in church, and I know that you're supposed to be proper and polite and stoic when you come to church, right? Apparently. But I'm about to show you a number, y'all, that I'm not kidding you. I'm not the, like, get my breath taken away guy. That's just not who I am. And we were hand counting these cards because this is a person. This is somebody's family member, someone's neighbor, someone's coworker. And we got done, and they gave me the number, and I said, come on, are you serious? I literally had them recount it. So here's what I want you to do. I realized that you guys were sort of clapping. You were like, yeah, I'm kind of excited to be here, whatever. You know, you cannot do that with this number that I'm about to show you, okay? This number, I mean, I need you to, like, stretch out, maybe do some calisthenics, ask your wife to move over because you're about to go crazy, okay? Like, this number, y'all, I'm telling you, you cannot golf clap this number. This is a crazy miracle number, okay? So I'm going to show it to you if you guys are ready to see it. Do you feel up for it? Okay. Well, this guy right here that's whooping, he's ready. The rest of you, I don't think that you're picking up what I'm putting down. This is a crazy, crazy number. Are you ready to see it? Okay, don't be giving me the polite response, okay? Give me the, you're in church, you're supposed to act crazy response. Are you ready? 246 people, y'all. 246 people. Check B. That's not like we rounded up. That's not like, I think there was probably 246 people. Check B. Now listen, that is somebody's mother. That's somebody's brother. That's somebody's neighbor. That's a person. Can you imagine how many people God changed or affected their lives with that number? Thousands of people are going to be affected by that number that God did last week in this and other buildings. Is that incredible? Absolutely incredible. So praise God for that, and thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all of your hard work inviting folks. But here's the thing. We don't believe in Easter hangover, okay? We prayed last week, God, this is a week that we know our culture is going to come and that you want to do something, but God wants to do something every week, amen? God wants to accomplish miraculous things. God wants to raise people from the dead, as it were, every single week. And here's what I want to say to you today. You came to church today. You got up later, since this is the noon service. You got up and you said, you know what, I'm going to the noon service today. And you got dressed and you put on deodorant and you brushed your teeth, hopefully, and you're here. But you maybe didn't think about the reason that you were coming to church today. You didn't think, there's something that God wants to do in or through me today. But here's what I know. God knew you were coming today. And God has an appointment for you today that he wants to keep. Anytime you come to church, this is the reason that I'm always excited to come to church, because I have no idea what God's going to do. I don't know what he's going to accomplish. I don't know who he's going to save. I don't know who's going to be freed from addiction or bitterness, or I don't know whose marriage is going to be renewed. I don't know who's going to get baptized. Every single time God's people gather, I believe that God has an appointment that he wants to keep, whether we know it or not. And so what I want to do is I want to tell you two stories today, one from my life and one from the Bible, that I think kind of reiterates this point, illustrates this point, that God always has appointments for us. During the 21 days of prayer, I had started to do something that Pastor Darren had asked us to do, which was essentially to kind of put ourselves on the operating table of the great physician, to say, God, search my heart and try me and see if there's anything in me that isn't what it should be. And so, do I have unconfessed sin, or do I have relationships that haven't been reconciled? And there's a guy about 17 years ago, I worked for him, and he and I didn't necessarily see eye to eye on some things, and he did some things that I wasn't cool with, and I'm sure that I did things that he wasn't cool with, but we went our separate ways, and he got on with his life, and I'm sure that God did his thing with him, and God did his thing with me. And God brought this guy's name into my mind and into my heart as I was praying through this. And my response to God was, God, I'm good. Like, I already did that. I moved on. You know, like, I did my thing, and I'm sure you did your thing with him, and God bless him, and I don't think he's my enemy, but I'm good. And God said, are you sure? And I said, I'm sure, man. I'm totally sure. It's good. And I kept praying. God searched my heart, and he said, all right, well, I did, and here's the guy's name. And I said, God, don't make me repeat myself. I got three kids. I'm always repeating myself. I don't want to do that when I'm praying, okay? I told you I'm good. I'm a pastor. Like, I forgive people. That's just what we do, right? Sometimes that's what we do. Yeah. God kept bringing his name up, About a month ago, I had to go on a trip, got on a plane hours and hours away, and I was at a church conference. And at this conference, we were hearing about Jesus and worshiping, and I was hearing what God was doing all over the place. And in between sessions, I went and I used the restroom and I washed my hands, you're welcome, and I put some lotion on because, you know, you don't want dry hands, bad news. And so I walk out of the restroom and I'm kind of rubbing my hands, and I bump into this guy. That guy. Literally. I bumped into that guy. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away. He lives in another state. I live, obviously, in Indiana. We were both out of town. And we kind of bumped in, and I did, huh, and he did, huh, and the first thought that went through my head was like, oh, man, come on, right? Like, I can't believe, God, that you literally bumped me into this guy. I told you we were good. Here's the thing. God had an appointment for me that I didn't know anything about. God wanted to do something, and sometimes God will whisper something in your ear, and you go, okay, I got it. And sometimes God has to get you on a jet plane and bump you into somebody. For you to get it, for you to understand that we serve a God who's sovereign, who has plans and desires for our life and appointments that he's gonna keep whether you know it or not. And here's the thing, you came to church today and for some of you, God has your appointment sitting in this room. God has something that he wants you to do, something that he wants you to believe, something that he wants you to become. And he's gonna say that to you today. He's gonna accomplish something in you today. And so I want you to be open to the possibility. Be open to the possibility that you're going to bump into something today, and that's going to be God who bumped you into it. So I want to introduce you to this story in the Bible. Acts chapter 8, I'm going to introduce you to two people, actually. One is Philip, and the other is an Ethiopian eunuch. And I want you to see what the Bible has to say about this. As for Philip, and what you need to know about Philip is that Philip was a follower of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. He had lived with Jesus. He loved Jesus. And when Jesus dies and raises again and ascends and says, go into all the world, Philip obeyed. And he went and he was a missionary and he had planted churches. This is a good and godly man. And it says that the angel of the Lord said to him, go south down to the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so what does Philip do? Philip started out. He obeyed God, and on the way, he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, which is, in some of your translations, it says Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, and the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, seated in his carriage, and he was reading aloud the book of the prophet Isaiah. He's reading aloud the book of the prophet Isaiah. So let me bring this into kind of a context that we would understand. The eunuch was kind of the COO of the kingdom that was very affluent. Ethiopia was a very affluent kingdom. This is a guy who works directly for the queen. And so when we read he's in a carriage, kind of the modern day context was he is in a motorcade of blacked out armored Escalades, right? And he's in one of them, and you don't know which one because he's the main guy. He's wearing a suit that costs thousands of dollars that's tailored that looks like it just fits specifically to him. He's got incredibly expensive shoes. He's got the best technology. He's got an entourage of people who are at his beck and call. This guy exudes authority and influence and affluence. This guy has everything going for him. When he's a little kid, he's got dreams. He's far exceeded those dreams. I mean, he's got problems. He's a eunuch, but all of us got problems, whatever, you know? Like, this is a guy who has it going on. But this interesting thing happens. He's from Ethiopia, and where does it say that he went? It said that he went to Jerusalem to worship, which means that he went to temple, which means that he had an exchange, an interaction, an appointment with our God. He was introduced to our God. And while he's at temple, somebody put a Torah, an Old Testament, into his lap, and he's reading the book of Isaiah on the way home in this motorcade of blacked out armored Escalades. Now here's the thing. I don't know if this brother went eeny, meeny, miny Isaiah. I don't know if his youngest son was named Isaiah like mine. I don't know why he's reading Isaiah, but here's what I do know. If you start in the book of Isaiah, two things are true. One, God is doing something in your life. And two, you're gonna be confused. And so this guy of influence, of authority, of power is reading the book of Isaiah, and here's what I want you to think about. What are the chances that within an earshot of this guy reading aloud is somebody who walked with love and was able to articulate the gospel to this guy? I mean, how ridiculous is it to think that God would have not only had an appointment for the Ethiopian eunuch, but had an appointment for somebody else who could help him out with the questions that he had? I mean, that's absurd. There's no way that that's going to happen unless you believe that God has and keeps appointments. Right? Unless you believe that. And then it's very much in the realm of possibility that God's up to something that we can see in hindsight, even though we're not in the midst of it. So here's what I want you to see. Check out what the book of Acts says. It says that the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now stop right there. Let's say that you find out that whatever, whoever your favorite political figure is, you're, you know, whatever, okay? And they're coming to town, and you want to go see them, and there's this motorcade of Escalades or whatever it is, and the Holy Spirit says to you, I want you to run over to the Escalade and talk to that person. What do you think would happen? Hey, Mr. Trump. Hey, President Obama. Hey, an army of people with microphones and tight-fitting suits is going to run towards you, right? And say, sir, please. That's what would have happened. And yet Philip says, look, man, and so he yells over all of these burly armed ex-military paratroopers, right? This question. He had overheard that the eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah, and he's hearing him say to his staff members, do you understand what this book is about? And they're like, no, boss, I have no idea. And so Philip says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? As large men are starting to push on him. Hey, do you understand what you're reading? And look at what happens. The man replied out the window of the Escalade, how can I unless somebody instructs me? Okay, now listen. This is a guy whose job was to have the right answer. This is a guy who for him to say, I don't know, this is not a part of his vocabulary. Some of you walked in here today, you didn't know that God had an appointment with you. Things are going reasonably well in your life. You don't know if you've got a space for God, but God has an appointment for you, and here's what you need to be open to: the possibility that somebody could help you understand. Some of you need to pray, God, send me somebody who can teach me. And some of you need to pray, God, send me to somebody that I can teach. Because this appointment that God had was for both men, and both men had to respond to the appointment. One is the teacher and the one to be taught. And so this Ethiopian eunuch says, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. Now stop. The motorcade comes to a halt. I mean, if this one Escalade stops, all the other Escalades stop. It comes to a halt. Everyone's like, why are we stopping? The eunuch kicks open his door. The big burly guys spread like the Red Sea, and Philip hops into the back of the Escalade. What do you want to talk about, right? Okay, so here's the deal. Starts to ask him questions, and look at what Scripture says. Then beginning with the same Scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. In the back of this chariot, in the back of this Escalade, next to this man of affluence and influence that God had an appointment for, Philip begins to teach him the good news about Jesus. You think about the amount of variables that go into this story. The amount of things that would have to happen perfectly for this to occur. And you begin to get the idea that God will go to any lengths to save people. God will go to any lengths to save people. Now, what is the good news about Jesus? I think there's three parts to it. One is that God is here now. God isn't out there somewhere on the other side of the cosmos. God isn't on a mountain. God is here. God is present. In fact, the Scripture literally says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I will be there in their midst. Look around. There are more than three people in the room today. God is present. God is available. God is accessible. God has things that he wants to say to you and things that he wants you to say to him. Number two, God loves you. God loves you. The Scripture says that, and God speaking, he says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, thoughts of peace and of a desired end. Do you realize that, listen, God doesn't think about us. God doesn't think about we. God doesn't think about Heartland Church. God thinks about you. God thinks about me. God thinks about Stephen and Ashley and Tim. The Bible says that God knows the hairs on your head, the desires in your heart. That God's love for you is unconditional, it's perfect, and it's eternal. God can never love you more than he does right now, and God will never love you less. And then lastly, God has the power to do what you think is hopeless. I don't know what your story is, but most of us, we have something that we think that's never going to change. That's never going to get better. That's never going to get corrected. I'm never going to get justice. I just got to live with it. God knows the desires of our heart, has the power to do something about it. He is present and he loves you. So what is the scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch is reading? Check this out. He's reading Isaiah 53, 7 and 8. That's the scripture that is referenced in the book of Acts. And it says, he was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. Who's that talking about, y'all? It's talking about Jesus. Here's the thing, the Ethiopian eunuch didn't know that. And so his question is, who is this guy? Who is this guy that did this thing? Who is this person? And here's what I want you to see. If you go to Isaiah 53 verses 4 through 6, he would have had to read this in order to get to the verses that I reference. Check this out. Yet it was, what's that word? It was our weakness that he carried. Jesus carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. Now, we thought that his troubles were a punishment from God, punishment for his own sin. But actually, it wasn't his, it was ours. He was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sin. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. But the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Here's what God says, that the good news of Jesus Christ is that Jesus took what I deserved. The Bible actually talks about God pouring out a cup of wrath on Jesus, emptying that cup. He was beaten, and we look at it and we go, that's probably something that he did, and the scripture goes, that's not what he did, that's what you did. And the Bible says that in Jesus receiving what I deserved, he removed my separation from God. That what I did, what I deserved, kept me separated from God, but Jesus substituted himself so that I could have a relationship with God. And here's what it means, that Jesus gets God's wrath and God's judgment, and I get God's grace and forgiveness. In fact, the book of Romans says it this way, Romans 8, so now, present tense, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Listen, there is not a point because of Jesus that when you go into the throne room of God, as it were, that he's frowning at you with crossed arms. Why? Because Jesus took that on your behalf and on mine. It means that every time you go into the presence of God, you're met with the smile of God. It means that God wants a relationship with you, that there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, there's no shame. Now, you hear that and you do what I'm sure the Ethiopian eunuch did. Pastor Tim, you have no idea what I've done. You have no idea what's happened to me. And there's this compulsion in us to go, listen, I'll start coming to church and I'll start doing a bunch of good stuff. And I want what this has, but it can't be that simple. And so I'm gonna become a very religious, very moral person. Then I'm gonna get as close as I can to it, and then we'll see what God has to say. That's our compulsion, isn't it? To earn. But here's what God says. In order to receive, you have to believe. In order to receive, you have to believe. You have to put your faith in the truth that Jesus is who he said he was, did what he said he did for the reasons that he said he did it. Placing my faith in Jesus, we saw this last week, it simply means I put my confidence in him. I put my confidence that he is who he said he was. He's God. That he did what he said he did, that he died on the cross for my sins, and that if I believe in him, he will give me forgiveness and eternal life for free. For free. The payment has been made. And so Philip unpacks the good news. That's good news. That you're forgiven. That there is no guilt, that there is no shame with a holy God. That's good news. And the eunuch believes, he receives what God has done. And so here's what I want to do, something a little unique. I don't want to go past this moment without assuming that God brought some of you here for an appointment. And so I'm going to have you close your eyes for a second. And I want to ask you, as I did at the beginning, to just be open to what God may have to say to you. To be open to the possibility that God brought you here to save you or to reveal himself anew to you. And if you think that God might be saying that to you, would you, listen, not for me, no one's looking around. Would you just raise your hand? I see you over here. I see you down here. I see you in the back. Thank you. It's awesome. If you raise your hand, would you just pray this prayer along with me, and then I want to pray for you. God, I know the decisions I've made have brought me to this place. I know that I deserve things that you took for me. And God, I'm sorry. Sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for what I've pursued. I'm sorry for what I've believed. But God, I'm ready. I'm ready today to put my faith in you, to put my confidence in you, to believe that you are who you said you were, that you did what you said you would do, and that I am who you say I am. I give you my life. Whatever you want to do with it, God, it's yours on this day, this appointment that you made before the foundations of the earth for me. And I receive that. And God, I pray for every person who raised their hand, and I pray for the ones who didn't, that they are here by your appointment. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you. Just an incredible thing to see dead men and women raised, to be made brand new, perfectly spotless, entirely whole. So we're thrilled, God, today for what you're doing and who you are. And I pray for these folks that they would continue to pursue you, that you would make yourself big in their eyes. They would follow you all the days of their life for your glory and for their joy. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, y'all. Let's celebrate. There are some folks who are in this room. Awesome. And here's the thing, guys. You know, God saved me more than 20 years ago. And I've made a lot of dumb decisions. But the one decision, there's a couple decisions that I don't regret. But the one that surpasses them all is that moment on October 18th, 1994, where I walked up to my bedroom and said, "All right, God. I have never regretted that, and you won't either. So I'm proud of you. Thank you so much for that." That's awesome. So what happens to my man, the Ethiopian eunuch? What becomes of him? The Bible actually tells us, look at Acts chapter 8. So they rode along, him and Philip. And you know there's this moment, right? There's this moment in the back of that Escalade. They come to some water, and the eunuch says, "Look, there's some water. Doggone it, if I had a swimsuit, I would love to get baptized." Man, I'm having a great hair day. Otherwise, today would be my day. I'm telling you. "I would love to, but I have an appointment," somebody says. What's he say? "Look, there's some water." And look at the punctuation. "Why can't I be baptized? Why can't I be baptized?" Look at what happens. The scripture says that he orders the carriage to stop, which means that all of the cars in the motorcade came to a stop. And that receptive door that was open became a door of a next step, right? He kicks the door open, he gets out, all of his robes everywhere, and he's walking over awkwardly, and everyone's like, "What's the boss doing?" And he climbs down into that water with no insecurity, with no inhibition. And he goes, "Phil, come baptize me, man." They get in the water, and Philip baptized him. And then look at what happens. I love this. They come up out of the water, and the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The appointment's over. "Got other things I need you to do, Phil." And look at what it says. The eunuch never saw him again, but his life was changed forever. I want you to see how the lengths that God will go to save people. That as soon as he had believed and been baptized, God goes, "You're done, time to go." And the eunuch never saw him again. But listen to me. If you know anything about history, the Christian church kaboomed in Ethiopia. God used a moment to change a man's life, to change a family's life, to change a kingdom's life. Because that's what God does. And that's who we serve. So here's the question that I have for you. Why can't you be baptized today? Now listen, I understand that there's some objections. So So let's talk about it. The one that I hear the most often is, I was baptized as an infant and I don't want to dishonor my parents, which, to be honest with you, I love. And here's the reason. Because I know that your parents made that decision with the best of intentions. I know that whenever a mommy and a daddy take a little baby to a church and say, please baptize my kid, it's because they want that kid to grow up and love Jesus. Because they want that kid to be connected to God's people. And because they feel like they have a responsibility to get them started on the right foot. And so praise God for that. The sequence, though, that the Bible lays out when somebody gets baptized is very simple. The gospel is preached, the gospel is received and believed, and then baptism occurs. It never changes. There's never a spot in the Bible where belief comes after baptism. It's always belief and then baptism. And that isn't your parents' belief. That isn't your pastor's belief. That isn't your priest's belief. That's your personal belief. And so today is an opportunity for you to publicly say, I personally believe that God has saved me. And I want you to know. I want you to know. The second is it's just pride, y'all. You don't want to come out of that water with your hair looking crazy, right? Water all up in your face. You don't want to do that. You don't want to have that moment of feeling foolish. And I get that. God saved me on October 18th, 1994. Come on, y'all. October 18th, 1994, God saved a 16-year-old punk. Save me. Single parent home. And I grew up in a pastor's home. And the time came for me to get baptized. And I thought to myself, man, if I get baptized, I'm going to look so stupid because everyone in the room is going to go, I thought this kid got baptized. I thought this kid was a Christian. Wait, what's going on here? And I was going to have to stand there and go, I did too. I don't know what to say. I wasn't lying. I was just trying. Right? Until this thought occurred to me. It wasn't what they thought of me. It was what my Savior would think of me if I was willing to publicly proclaim that. Listen, it isn't what anyone in this room thinks of you. It's what would God think? If you said, I'm going to get baptized because God saved me and I want these people to know. And if I come out looking crazy, fine. If they think whatever they think, that's fine. It's a public proclamation, but this is my personal decision and I'm doing it. And I'm doing it right now, today, because God had an appointment for me. I just didn't know. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, I bet the water's cold. The water's heated. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not a member of this church. Neither was the Ethiopian eunuch. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, you're joking on the whole like swimsuit thing, but I honestly did not bring a swimsuit. Like, I'm not ready. And so I want to introduce you to somebody. Elise, where you at? There she is. Everyone say hey to Elise. Come on over here, sweetie. Elise is my model today. That's why she's so pretty. All right, you doing good? All right, you a little nervous? Yeah, me too. It's good. God saved Elise, and Elise is going to get baptized today. Yeah. So Elise is 12. You're 12? You're 8. No way. So we put Elise and her folks through a process and just kind of helping them understand what baptism is and just making sure that mom was good with it. And mom's over there taking some pictures right now. And so we're going to get to baptize Elise. But can I see that bag that you have there, sweetie? So in this bag is everything that you would ever need to get baptized. There's a dark t-shirt. There's swimming trunks. There's unmentionables. There's stuff for people who have hair. I don't know. What that is necessarily. You do though, right? Your hair's looking good. Can you take that back? There's a towel. There's everything that you could possibly conceive of to get baptized. There's rooms. We're going to have people who will take you to the room. They'll watch your stuff while you'll get baptized. No one's going to steal something. We're in church, y'all. It's all good. All right? Maybe you think to yourself, okay, fine. But my family's not here and I want them to see this. And that's why we have a videographer and a photographer. Listen, honestly, We literally sat in a room and thought of every objection we could think of and tried to answer it. So here's the only reason that you wouldn't get baptized today. You're the only reason. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to, in a couple minutes, I want you to think and I want you to pray and I want you to ask God, do I need to get baptized with Elise today? I'm going to have the worship band come out and we're going to sing a song. And then you're going to have an opportunity to be baptized. And so here's what I want to do. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that you'll be brave, that you'll be courageous, that you'll follow God and take that next step. And when I get done, we're all going to yell, 1, 2, 3. And then Elise is going to walk down these stairs and back that aisle. And there's a bunch of Dream Teamers back there. They're waving. You see them? And they're going to help Elise and you with everything that you could need to take this next step. Okay? So I'm going to pray for Elise. I want to pray for you. And then we're going to yell 1, 2, 3, and we're going to worship God, and we're going to watch some people get baptized today. Okay? All right. God, thank you for Elise, this beautiful 8-year-old little girl. And God, I thank you that you love her. I thank you that you've saved her. I thank you for her mom. Thank you for her family, God. I just pray that you'll bless her today. God, this is a great, awesome step for her. And so lead her all the days of her life and allow her life to glorify you and bring joy to her and others. God, there are people in this room today who they need to follow the example of an 8-year-old. They need to humble themselves and they need to get excited and they need to say, there is no reason for me to not be baptized today. I'm doing it. So give them grace, give them courage, help them to be brave as we stand up to only think of what you say, to only think of what you have done and who you've made them. Let's take this next step. I thank you for your grace, God. We love you because you loved us first, because you love us eternally, you love us unconditionally, you love us best. So we thank you for this opportunity as a family, as your people, to see this work of your grace. And we love you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to count to 3, and then you're going to go that way. Cool? All right, are you ready, y'all? 1, 2, 3.